3. And we will begin reading at verse 12. Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and I'll tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body." Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Father, these are words that challenge us, that move us, that are going to press in on us, and that is where your Spirit does his work. Thank you for not letting us be content or you being content with just being here and just where we are, but your mission and your purpose is always moving forward, and you are moving us forward in that direction, and we thank you for the challenges that go with it. We thank you for the energy that it takes. We thank you that Jesus Christ has already been there, and he is calling us, and he walks with us. We thank you for your Spirit that gives us strength to sustain and to move. And we thank you that we are always pressing ahead to a prize that we can see, but we have not been able to totally possess just yet. So move us further, move us ahead just a little more, for Christ's sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. In our journey through Philippians, we've been looking at the call to joy. Part of the joy of being a person of Christ and part of the joy of being a family of faith is that we do this as a family, that any family of faith do this, that you move in the direction as a group of people, as a family, toward Christ. This sounds very easy. This sounds like, well, certainly you could take any group of people and you could move them toward Christ. Certainly anybody would agree, especially anybody who follows Christ, that what God desires for us to do is to be able to move forward. And so Paul talks about this forward motion, this prize that he has in view, and he encourages us, he encourages the church in Philippi to band together as a family and to move forward as a family. So let's just listen to him just for a moment and see how he's going to go with this. I have a hunch that Paul knows this about us as people. If you ask any group of people if they want to move forward, if they want their personal lives to move forward, if they want to grow in Christ, or if they want their church to grow forward, how many people out of 100 say, yeah, I think I do want to grow forward? How many would you say? I would say some. I think anybody would say, yes, I want to move forward. And everybody says, let's move forward. At what point do people stop thinking, let's move forward? Just take a wild guess. What did you say? When it doesn't go either the way you thought or when you actually have to take the step forward. Everybody is pro-forward until you have to do it. That's true. You ask any group of people, do you want to change? And you could almost get a unanimous vote. Until what day? Until the day you wake up and change is what's on the table. And then it's a say, what? Well, I know we all agreed we would do it, but we are being challenged. We're being asked. This is a hard thing. This is the thing that Israel faced. This is the kind of thing that Paul is talking about. It's easy to say or to vote, and everybody knows in their hearts we need to move forward until the day in which forward movement is what you have to do, right? That's where the challenge is. That's where we end up having to listen and need to listen, and I know in my own life, listen to what Paul is saying, because it is easier to lead backwards than it is to lead forward. Have y'all thought about that? It is easier to take a group of people and say, when was the best time you ever had? And everybody say, I'll just make up something, 1988. It is easier to say, well, good, I'll lead you back there, than it is to lead forward. It's easier to go back to what you already know and what we are all comfortable with than it is to say, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And all I know is that Christ is going to be there because that is where he is, and I am willing to take the risk to accept the challenge of moving in the direction that we see and experience Jesus Christ. You see the difference? And I just thank God that as a group of people, we have the opportunity to be challenged to not lead backwards, but to lead forward. One is certainly more easier than the other, but leading forward is when you begin to see Christ. Leading forward is when God's stories begin to happen. Leading forward is when lives begin to change. Leading forward is when God shows up and he wasn't on your calendar and you could have never seen him do what he is about to do. So Paul talks about leading forward. Have y'all ever, might not have known what it was. Have you ever seen the dance or the moonwalk move? Do y'all know what the moonwalk is? Michael Jackson did it. Now, think before you answer. If somebody does the moonwalk, and in as much as I could do it in front of you, I will not. I will refrain. Thank you. I'm going to get an applause out of you if I have to go to dancing to do it. Okay. When somebody does the moonwalk, are they moving forward or backward? I'm just wondering. Okay. I have a backward. Do I have any other? Sideway. Moving backwards. Are you agreed?
Yes.
Will everybody agree that when Michael Jackson does the moonwalk, he's moving backwards? Are you good? Which way does it look like he's moving? The whole notion, and this is brilliant, if you think about it in those terms, the whole idea is to give the appearance that you're moving forward while you're moving backward.
Yep.
Do you get that?
Yep.
I get to see a number of churches. What do you think most churches are doing? Moonwalking. Giving the appearance that moving forward while in fact moving backward. Does that make sense? We are good at this. We want the community thing. I mean, nobody wants to think, oh, we're just sitting here doing nothing. We want everybody else to think we're moving forward, but sometimes we really don't want to move forward. In order to give the impression that we're moving forward, we move backward. But we make it look like we're moving forward. Paul said, press which way? Did he say backward or forward? I got myself confused. Which way? He said, press forward. Dance forward, lean forward, move forward, go in the direction that is forward. And I can assure you that when we are at the moment where the choice is moving forward and moving backward, it is not as easy to decide Because moving forward is like walking, it is like walking in the wilderness. And when the people of Israel got out in the wilderness, and they were all excited to get there, were they not? I mean, didn't they want to get out of Egypt? Didn't God hear their cry? We want to get out of Egypt. And when they got into the wilderness, what happened? They want to go back to what they cried to get out of. Who did they think was going to part the water for them going back? I'm just curious. Did they look around in the wilderness and say, you know, when we were in Egypt, y'all remember all those outbacks that were on every corner and the shopping malls and all the bush gardens and all the fun and leisure time we had and pay raises? Do y'all remember that? Because that's the way they must have remembered it. Paul says, we are called as a people of God to move forward. And the goal is to move toward Christ. Now, here's the good news. You say, I don't know. I'm not sure. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. But this is how you do it. You do it. We do it because Jesus Christ has already captured you. Right? If you've experienced Jesus Christ, this is the image that Paul uses. If you experience Jesus Christ, He has already captured you. He's already overwhelmed you with grace. He's already said, my son, my daughter, you're completely forgiven. He has already revealed His love to you, and the same Jesus Christ that captured you stands in front of you, stands in front of us, and says, in a sense, He says, now you come capture me. And the relationship can be consummated. The relationship can be fully complete if you will move, if you will walk in the direction that I am calling you to walk. And I know Jesus Himself would stand there and say, I know it would be so much easier for you to be moving backward because you know it's back there and you get how you do things and you know all about that. But moving forward is a new adventure. Moving forward is taking a great risk. Moving forward is exposing yourself. Moving forward is difficult conversations. Moving forward is deeper praying. Moving forward is higher faith. Moving forward is revealing Christ. And if church is all we do as individual Christians, or all any church does, is put a lot of energy and a lot of motion into movement so that people will think we're moving, and all churches do is move backward rather than forward, we will not be moving toward Jesus Christ. Our purpose here is to move towards Him, is it not? When I got married, I was looking for Donna because I thought she was going to be here today. I had to be out of town this morning at another church preaching an early service, so I was, do y'all know about Donna? Did she contact anybody? Is she okay? Okay, I figured, because I thought she was singing with you today and I couldn't find her. And so I left early this morning to go where I had to go. So when I married her, there was nothing in heaven or hell that could keep me from getting to the altar where she stood. I was going to move forward, even though people may have said, I don't see how someone who's so beautiful could have got tangled up with somebody. And they weren't talking about me being so beautiful. They're talking about Donovan. How could somebody like her marry somebody look like him? I ought to one day show you the pictures. If you think it's horrific now, you should have seen it when I was then. I don't know what happened in my head. But nothing on planet Earth, because of love, I had been captured by love. And I was going to make the trip down the aisle, because that was the direction in which my heart was. That's where my love was. That's where my bride was. Imagine a church thinking the same way about Jesus Christ. There He is. We're going to move in the direction. We're going to press forward against all weather, against all challenge, against all difficulty, not because we're prideful or not because we can say we've done it, but because Jesus Christ is worth it, and going to where He is and to where He is calling is worth anything that we could possibly imagine. No other option measures up to the option of just showing up where Jesus is. How do you do that? Paul goes on to say, he says to the people in the church, he said, imitate me, follow me. Anybody say, well, that sounds just a little egotistical that Paul would ask other people to follow him, that he would tell other people to imitate. How does he think he is? Because we already know Paul's real story. As a matter of fact, you remember from last week, he was actually persecuting the church. So who does he think he is if he thinks that the future is about following him? Well, here's where Paul is going with this. Here's the brilliant thing that he's relaying to us. He's not saying follow him because he has all of it down and he understands it all. As a matter of fact, he admitted in the very first verse of this that he was a guy in process in his faith, but he was also committed to following Christ. All he's saying is this: if you can't see Christ from where you are, follow me because I'm following him, and in following me, he will soon be revealed to you and we can just walk together. That's what he's saying. If all people did was follow their favorite person, if all people did was just follow their favorite preacher, whoever, wherever they may be, wherever, what's going to happen ultimately? I mean, you can see it coming 100% of the time. If all you do is follow your favorite preacher or religious leader, what will happen to you? At what point will you be disappointed? At some point, right? All you have to do to be disappointed is follow another human being. Paul is not saying, I want you to follow me so you can brag about what a great leader I am. He is saying, follow me so that by following me, I imitate Jesus. Jesus imitates the Father. When you imitate me, before you know it, you'll be imitating him. And that's the point. And when you imitate Jesus, at what point are you disappointed? There you go. There you go. A couple months ago, our Richmond daughter, Sarah, their family came down, and two boys, 3 and 6, it was a Saturday afternoon, and my job was to provide afternoon childcare, which I love. We have a great time. We'll play, we'll go to Dairy Queen, we'll go to a park, we do whatever we want to, everything's cool. So me and the two boys are there, and we're up in our bonus room, and we got all kinds of things for them to do, and we're playing, having a great time, had a good day, and when they came back, we went out to eat, had a good time. The next day, I get a text from my older daughter, and she says, I just sent you something on your phone. Would you please take a look at it? So I go, and she sent me a video. In the video is her 3-year-old son, my grandson, sitting in the back seat of their van. They're going down the road. A song that never, ever comes on the radio came on the radio. And she taped Grant sitting in the back seat doing this. Whoomp, there it is. Whoomp, there it is. Whoomp, there it is. And my daughter said, do you have any idea where he may have learned that? You know, kids today pick up stuff anywhere. I don't know. She said, well, that's funny. Because when the song came on, immediately Grant said, that's Pawpaw's song. Wonderful. This is good. Now, all I knew was that chorus to the song. I never in my life went back to look at the words to that song. So I Googled the song and went back and looked at the words. Do y'all know the words? Don't say them if you do. This is inappropriate. If you ever look at the words to that song, I mean, I read biblical Greek and I could not read the words to that song. I have no idea what that stuff was. I do know because of all the asterisks that it wasn't good. Fortunately, all I taught him was, "Whoop, there it is." I said, okay, I didn't know. And the chances of that ever being, I mean, that song came out. I never saw the movie, but I did further research and found out it came out of the Addams Family Values movie way back then. All right? Y'all know that movie? No, not me. I'm too busy praying and do holy stuff. So you pagans who watch Addams Family Values stuff, the song came out of that movie. And then I said, okay, sweetie, I taught him, there it is. Then she said, are you the same papa who also taught him how to pull a marble out of his ear? Yes, honey, I pulled a marble out of my ear. Well, he thinks it's real. I said, honey, of course, you know it's not. I know, it's no. I will show him how to pull a marble out of my ear. And I thought, okay, I hope this is done. Then she said, are you the same papa who let him get a bucket stuck on his head? Yes, honey, we were playing marching band. There was a little plastic dump truck. He took the bucket off of the back of the dump truck, and he put it on his head, and it was the cutest thing you had ever seen in your life until he got the handle up below his chin and up against his throat. Then he came over to papa, and there was no wiggle room, and I gently moved his head every which way I could, and I could not get the bucket off of his head, and it was pressing in on his throat. He started crying big crocodile tears, and I finally went out in the garage and got a little pair of shears and cut it off of his head and said, Grant, before law, mommy will be coming. If you ever want to go to Dairy Queen again in your life, listen, let's keep this one on the low down, right? Is that what it is? Down low, see, that's why I miscommunicated. He probably didn't know. He would have known what the down low is. So I said, let's just keep this one kind of quiet. We've had a big day already. All right, enough has happened today. And sure enough, when Mama came up the steps, he ran over and said, Mama, I almost died. She said, what? Yeah, the bucket was squeezing my throat and Papa had to cut it off before he called 911. Hold it, back up. Back up. I mean, this is life. We imitate people in our life. If we want to walk into greater joy as we just discover joy as a church family, if we want to walk into a greater future, if we want to do all of that, we need to imitate the Son imitating the Father. We could preach all day long. We could run all kind of stuff. We could write up 1,000 curriculum lessons about stuff, but people will do what they see or who they see they want to be like, and they will imitate, will they not? So here's our question for a day. This is challenging. I find this disturbing for me, having confessed to you what I had. If everybody in my life imitates me, what kind of world do we have in 5 years? The bucket-headed world, I know. Every kid will be in the marching band. If everybody imitates, and let's make it more of who we are as people in Christ, if everybody imitates my faith, if everybody imitates the way I follow Jesus, and I'll put it in your life, if everybody follows your faith, if everybody follows the way you follow Jesus, what does this look like in 5 years? What kind of world is that? If you're a father, happy Father's Day. The greatest gift you give to your child is something worth following. Something so worth following that your child will one day, while looking at you, will hear the voice of Christ in their head, in their mind, for the first time. If you're a mother, same deal applies. The biggest, greatest, most beautiful, wonderful gift you'll ever give to your child is living a faith that is worth your child following. Forget all the fancy stuff, the jobs, the homes, the cars, the bank accounts. Forget all of that stuff, because the thing that will matter on Father's Day someday will be a child saying, "Dad, thank you, because I followed you. I saw Jesus." And there'll be nothing worth that moment. There'll be nothing that you would want more for your child. Imagine a church family doing exactly what Paul did. Moving forward, forgetting that which is behind. He didn't mean he just diminished it or didn't mean anything. He said in order to move forward, you just can't be clutching that which is behind at the same time. You can't do it. Moving forward, because we see and hear and watch Jesus Christ, and before we know it, the unity comes not because we just try to fake a unity among us. The unity comes not even because we are just watching each other. The unity comes because ultimately everybody's watching the same son follow the same father, saying the same stuff. And when everybody is keyed in, is locked up, is got Jesus in their front view and following and hearing that, the world changes. That's pressing forward. That's imitating. That's having a future. I want to ask you, if you would, please, to stand with me. I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I'm going to invite you to come. And maybe the way that you symbolize your stepping forward, or the way that you take a step in a new place where God is leading you, is to just come and just say, "Hey, I just want to pray. I'm not even sure what all I know is I want to move forward and what God is doing in my life. I want to see Jesus. I want to move forward." And if that's what you got, that's what I got. So let's pray about that together. Perhaps today is a day that is your first step towards Christ, and you want to come and say, "Okay, I hear that. I'm going to follow Jesus." And so if you would come, I would love to pray with you and to have the opportunity to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the stories of our faith. Thank you for the encouragement of Paul. When it's not easy to move forward, you've called us to do that. And in order to do that, we have to move from things that we're comfortable with, places that perhaps we are all too familiar with. But moving forward is where we see Jesus. It's when we hear Jesus. It's how people see Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that as a church family, we will be the kind of church family that has the courage, the faith, the humility to move forward when moving back would be so much easier. Father, I thank you for those who are here today, those who are moving and stepping forward. Thank you for the steps they will take. If it's a step in being a father that helps people see Jesus, thank you for that step that's taken. Or being a mother, or a friend, a neighbor, a coworker. If it's somebody who's taking a step to Jesus, and it's, today's the first step they've taken in that direction, we love it. We embrace it. And Father, we receive the gift, and I pray you give that person courage and encouragement to take that step just now. So, Father, we thank you for moving us forward for Christ's sake and for His name. Let's sing together. If you come, I'll be right here to meet you, pray with you as you come. Come right on.